I said, taking care of my girls. That's my cows up on the farm. And while we were up there, we experienced everything from hot, sunny weather, where I was in T-shirts and sweating, doing fencing and so on, to frigid cold with snow flurries and so on. We had hail. We had a tornado. And the tornado sirens are going off. And I had a picture almost instantly of Jesus asleep in the boat during the storm. I didn't go to sleep, but I thought, you know, if storms don't bother him, they shouldn't bother us. So I did what he did. He just rebuked the storm. I rebuked the storm. Now, this farm has been in our family seven generations. There's a big century barn. It's three stories. It was built in the mid-1800s. And so, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot for that thing to come down. And so it's a little bit of a concern when there's a storm like that coming through. But I rebuked the storm, and my mother, who's 90 years old, I said, come on, Mom, we're going to go to the movies and watch Dumbo while this thing's going on. And we just went and had a good time and hardly even knew there was a storm. I believe that that is the way that Christians are supposed to live today. We are so concerned about so many things, but if Christ is risen, the real question becomes, is Christ risen in you? Because we can see Christ risen as a history lesson, but is it a today lesson for you? Is it a reality for you today? So we're going to talk about today. I want to ask you, are your steps marked? Are your steps marked? We're going to look at steps today, but first of all, a little bit of humor. A pastor is driving back from Iowa, and he gets stopped for speeding in Minnesota. The officer smells alcohol in the pastor's breath, and then he sees an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car. Sir, have you been drinking? Asks the officer. Well, just water, replies the pastor. Having none of this, the officer slowly and deliberately asks, well, then why do I smell wine? Without so much as a blink of an eye, the pastor looks down at the bottle and exclaims, good Lord, he's done it again. Recently, a teacher, a garbage collector, and a lawyer wound up together at the pearly gates. St. Peter informed them that in order to get into heaven, they would each have to answer one question. St. Peter addressed the teacher and asked, what was the name of the ship that crashed into the iceberg? They've recently made a movie about it. The teacher answered quickly, that would be the Titanic. St. Peter said, come on in through the gate. St. Peter then turned to the garbage man and figured, heaven didn't really need all the odors that this guy would bring with him, and he decided to make the question a little harder. He said, how many people died on the ship? Fortunately for him, the trash man had just seen the movie and answered, oh, it was about 1,500. St. Peter said, that's right, you may enter in. So he turned to the attorney, and he said, name them all. I know. If you are an attorney here, actually, I know there's a former attorney here, so please, the Bible says that if you want to get to heaven, you have to love me, so keep loving me. Could you turn these spots down just a little bit? It's a little blinding. Anyways, today I wanted to talk to you about steps. Steps are extremely important. We're going to look at the Lord's steps, but I really want to spend most of our time looking at your steps. Steps are not just steps. There's more to a step than a step. I'll give you an example. I took a step and I asked Donna to marry me. How many of you know there was more to that step than just that step? Steps lead to paths. Steps lead to homes. And inside there's lives and there's things that unfold for a whole lifetime. There's more to a step than just a step. I like the acrostic step. It's starting to execute purpose. See, you're just starting to execute a purpose that God has. Now, I understand that there's negative things that steps. You can take a step in the wrong direction. You can take a step that will serve the evil one. I understand those. I don't want to talk to you about those today. You're intelligent people. You know those. I want to talk to you today about the steps of a good man. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. not everybody. You know what's shocking about that scripture to me? When they talked, they called Jesus and said, good teacher. And he said, no, don't you call me good. There's nobody good except the Father. And yet here it's talking about a good man. So I have to think that that is a fatherly man, somebody that carries the Father's anointing. But the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So what are marking your steps today? Proverbs says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. So he'll order a step. You step in that direction, but as it unfolds, he will direct your paths. He'll be a light under your feet, the Bible says. There's steps that we're supposed to take. I wonder if we really checked on all of our steps from morning till night, how many of them were purposely taking to step in the direction of unlocking God's purpose. And we look at Jesus. That's all he was about. Remember, he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. He was concerned about walking with the Father. Now, we're going to look at some of the steps of the Lord, but I want to tell you, if I would have been here with you last Sunday, I wouldn't have handed out palm branches. I would have handed out rocks. Listen to what it says in Luke 19:37. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. You know, God loves a worshiping church. I can't help but, you know, you guys were just really getting it today. In fact, I'm really glad to see you all. We had a lot of people that are traveling that couldn't be here and so on. I thought, man, it's just going to be pretty much me and Donna and Meekers if they want to keep their job as elders. And so, but I'm glad to see all your smiling faces. It's really, really refreshing to me. But this thing about the stones crying out. You know, it seems a little weird, but probably so does axe heads floating. You know, I mean, there's a lot of weird things in the Bible. Now, do you know that there are places in the world called Singing Rock? They have Singing Rock Park and so on. I have a little video clip I want to show you of singing rocks. And so let's show that real quick if we could. They're just getting to the right space. Mainly what I want you to see in this video is that the humans are quiet and the rocks are singing. I understand they're banging on the rocks, but this just helps my imagination get in the direction that rocks could possibly make sound and worship unto God. And so that's what I would have handed out last week, but I wasn't here and you got palm fronds instead. But when Jesus traveled into Jerusalem that day, his steps were marked with kingship, and they were marked with peace, and they were marked with glory, the Bible says. His steps were purposeful. He was on a journey. He was going somewhere. And as he took a step, you know, the Bible says that for the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross. That was part of the process of going to the cross. He had purpose. He was unfolding God's starting to engage purpose is what he was doing on that journey. Look at the markings of those steps. Now, as he drew near, he was drawing near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, say, if you had known. I wonder how many things God's doing or wants to do in his purpose that we don't know. Even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you. Anybody ever live that day? Your enemies are showing up all around you, and they surround you, and they close you in on every side, and they level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. This Jesus wept because they didn't know. We know. But you have to mark your steps. If they had known. I wonder, can't help but think, if Jerusalem had known that this was their Savior, would they have taken different steps? I'm just wondering, tomorrow morning, when you get up, will you know the purpose of God? And will you take different steps? Are your steps marked? That's what I want to know from you today. Are your steps marked? Jesus also, he traveled to the whipping post where he was to be beaten. And on his way, he was taking steps to get there. But those steps, every step had healing in it. He was going someplace. He had a purpose. He was walking out the Lord's purpose. Are your steps marked today? He took difficult steps carrying the cross down the Via Dolorosa on the way to Golgotha. Difficult steps. He knew where he was going. It had purpose in it, but it was hard. But his steps were marked. They were marked with your salvation. They were marked with my salvation. They were buying your freedom from the devil. They were buying heaven and all he had for us. His steps were marked with salvation. Are your steps marked? Are your steps marked? And then, imagine this if you would. When they got him to the cross and were getting ready to nail him to the cross, I believe that Jesus had to step over the cross in order to lay down to be nailed to the cross. He took a step over the cross. It was the mark of resurrection. He took a step because he knew that he was going to be raised again. This wasn't the final step, but it was a step. And it was marked with your resurrection. Listen, this is the hope that we carry. Christ risen within us. If he is risen from the tomb, that's wonderful. But if he's not risen in you, then it has no effect in you. What are your steps marked with today? He positioned himself over the cross, took a step, knowing that he would rise.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me. The time will come when you will see. For I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me. Go ahead, say, go ahead. Bury me, but very soon I will be free. Tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try and hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the only one.
I want you to know that the very first step of making Jesus actively alive and participating with you on the earth is accepting him in your heart. If you want to start to execute heaven's purpose, most of us in here have realized what heaven's purpose is. There's peace, there's joy, there's provision, there's pardon, there's protection. The list is endless. It's incredible. It's an incredible life. But if you have never taken the first step, that first step is inviting Jesus to live in your heart. And if you have never done that, I want to invite you to do that today. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your entire lifetime. I promise you. I promise you. So if that's you today, we're not going to bow heads and do all. Just if you would like to accept the Lord as your Savior, take that first step. Then I would like for you to just lift your hand. We're not going to have you come up here. We're not going to make you, you know, swing from the chandeliers. Well, we don't have any in the first place. But this is just a decision. If you would like to walk with the Lord, that's first, number one. Number two, maybe you have made that decision in the past, but you know you're not walking where you should be. Your steps are not being ordered of the Lord because you're not walking as a good person. And maybe that's you today, and you want to change paths. You want to take that right step with Jesus today. So either one of those two. You've never asked Jesus in your heart, or maybe you have, but you know you need to get back tight with him again. If either of those are you, would you lift your hand? We're just going to pray with those that would do that. We've got several. Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's do this. Let's pray this together. Just kind of makes it easier. But those of you who lifted your hand, it's important that you mean these words. And if you're not sure about the words, please come and see me after service, and I will give you some additional tools to help you. But let's all pray this together with those. Father God, thank you for your love towards me that caused you to send Jesus to the earth. Jesus, thank you for coming. And I thank you for dying for me. You paid for my sins. I receive what you did right now in my heart. Come into my life. And as best as I'm able, I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, those of you who just prayed that prayer, I just want to kind of give you, maybe I should have given you a fair warning before you prayed the prayer. Too late now, you're already in. But here's we say that like it's just, okay, I prayed the prayer, everything's all good. You know, I said I do on my wedding day, but how many of you know the marriage takes some effort and some work? It's easy to pray the prayer, but if the walking it out, you're going to need a family like this. You're going to need some guidance, some instruction, and some help. And our commitment is to help you in that process. How many of you, now don't lift your hand if you don't mean this. How many of you, if you knew who it was that just lifted their hands, and if they wanted help, you'd be willing to help them? How many would do that? I want you, if you lifted your hand, I want you to look across this congregation. Look at how many people would be willing to help you in that walk. That's true kingdom family. And so we congratulate your decision today. We don't take that lightly. In fact, we want to celebrate the decision that you just made. Would you just celebrate with them a little bit? I mean, it means a lot. All of heaven, it's the only time we read that all of heaven rejoices when a lost sinner comes home. So let's join heaven in rejoicing this morning for those that have come home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have communion today, and as we prepare for communion, this is going to be a little bit different today because I want to talk to you about Moses. Moses was instructed by God to anoint Aaron and his sons as priests. And what he told them to do is he said, I want you to take the blood from the offering, and I want you to anoint Moses, I want you to anoint Aaron, and I want you to anoint his sons, and I want you to do it three places. I want you to anoint his ear, his thumb, and his big toe. But you know, only on the right side. Right ear, right thumb, right big toe. Why? Because right stands for power and authority. He wanted right from the beginning. And why those three? I believe because it's the external man. It represents the whole man. It's covering from head to foot, if you will. And so he wanted to anoint them with the blood. Now, this is what is interesting to me. That was Old Testament, external man, anointed externally. But when Jesus came, he instituted a new anointing. He wants to be inside of us. We're talking about Christ risen in you. That's the hope of glory today. And what we're doing by taking communion is taking that blood. It's no longer on the ear, the thumb, and the toe. He now wants to live on the inside. It's an inside job. And so I want you to think about that today. And so as you come and receive communion, we'll take it all together. But if you would come and receive the cracker and the juice, take it back to your seat, and then we'll take it all together. Would you do that now, please? As you're receiving that, you know, I think that there was also some meaning behind it in the Old Testament. I believe he anointed Aaron's and his son's ears, number one, to hear. You know, the Bible says that this is how you'll know that you're sons and daughters of God, is that you hear his voice. Let your ears be anointed today. He gave Aaron and his sons some very difficult instructions. He told them to get water out of a rock. They had to have anointed ears to hear and follow what God was saying. I believe the thumb, because the thumb is for service. In fact, the rest of the fingers don't work very well without a thumb, that we serve him. It's also for worship. So service and worship. And then the toe. Do you know if you take off your big toe, balance becomes extremely difficult. And he says in these days, he says, see then that you walk very carefully, knowing that the days are evil. I believe that we should, that those things had representation. I want to talk to those that lifted your hands to receive Christ today, because for the very first time, unless you're rededicating, but for the very first time, you're receiving the body of Jesus in representation. He was broken so that you could be whole. You're now in right standing. When you're not in right standing, you can take communion, but it doesn't mean anything to God, and it probably doesn't mean much to you. But today, we want to welcome you to your very first meal that heals in the presence of God. He was broken so that you could be whole. Listen to me, those that raised your hands and those, the rest of us here, he was broken for one reason, so that you could be whole. Now hear me, because I know with this number of people, there's sicknesses here. There's lack, there's depressions, there's different things that go on. He didn't isolate it to just one thing. Broken for your wholeness. Amen. Let's say that together, broken for my wholeness. He's broken for my wholeness. He paid the price. He paid the price. It's already done. Receive this. It's just a cracker. It's what it represents that has power. Father, I pray you would bless this bread as we partake it, as we crush this between our teeth, just like Jesus was crushed and bruised and broken. Let it remind us that he did it so that we could be whole. Bless this bread in Jesus' name. Jesus. Inside of us. Kingdom inside of us. That's what this represents. We're taking it on the inside. It's already been done. If you've accepted Jesus, he lives on the inside. But this is a reminder so that we don't forget what he did. Father, I pray that you would bless this cup. Let us remember that the blood of Jesus paid for our sins. It doesn't matter what we have done. Paul was the chief of all sinners, and he was forgiven. Hallelujah. We've been forgiven. Our debt is no longer our debt because we turn it over to you, and you paid for it. We receive this in our body. Our sins forgiven by your blood, paid for by your blood. Let us remember that now as we partake in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, that's just too good. That's just too good. Wow. Thank you, Lord. But those aren't the steps that I want to talk to you about today. They're all good. I want to talk to you about some other steps today. This happened while I was up on the farm, and I always learned so much on the farm. You know, the Bible is really agricultural. So when you get on a farm, there's life lessons that come to pass. And I get 100 every time I go. But this one actually came from talking with my mother. And I heard a story I'd never heard before. My mother's grandmother, so it'd be my great-grandmother, and her name was Artemisia. Artemisia, my great-grandmother. During the Depression on the farm, they would have people, men that would come and want to exchange work for a meal. And so she would put them to work, and they would come in, and she would feed them a good meal. And as time went on, there got to be more and more men that were coming. And she was a little perplexed because, you know, the economy was bad, but it hadn't gotten worse, but there was definitely more men coming. So one day she asked one of the guys that were eating, what's going on? How come there's more men here coming all the time? And the guy chuckled a little bit, and he said, well, there's something you don't know. When we go and we work, there's a lot of people that don't treat us very fairly. They'll make us work hard, and they'll give us a meager meal. But when we find somebody that treats us fairly and gives us a good meal, we mark their steps. So they know where to go back to. Those are the steps I want to talk with you about today. When I ask you, are your steps marked? That's what I want to ask you. What are they marked with? Are they marked so that people want to come to you? You know, there's something attractive about Jesus. Everybody wanted to come to Jesus, even the kids, because the disciples are saying, oh, keep the kids away. They say, no, let them come to me. There's something attractive about Jesus. You know, there's something attractive about a Christian. You all know it. Sometimes you'll go places and people will say things like, you know, there's just a light about you, or I just like being around you, or there's, it's not you. Don't get all proud and puffed up. It's the Christ in you. It's him living on the inside that makes you different. And so are your steps marked? I wanted to talk to you this morning, and I will probably get deep into it next week. But do you know what I believe that mark is in a Christian? I believe it's his glory. Glory is really, you know, if you took it down to the elementary level, it's his presence. It's his presence in you. It's what makes you attractive. So are your steps marked? Do you know the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance? It's the goodness that makes him attractive. I believe when you're good, just like my great-grandmother Artemisia was good to these men, it made more want to come. Why do we have empty seats? What you carry needs to be put on display. She had to cook a meal. You know, she had to find work for them to do, make sure that they were knew what to do, and then she had to make a meal and feed them. There was a process. I'm just asking you as the church today, and I'm asking myself too, do we carry the goodness of God, the glory of God, in such a way that people mark our steps and they want to be around us? Joy, I believe this is a good definition of joy. It's a calm delight evidenced by people wanting to be around you. Do you have joy that is attractive? Do you carry his goodness? What are your steps marked with today? Are your steps even marked? I believe they are. Listen to this. By the way, Artemisia, she was named after the Queen of Turkey. Not Thanksgiving turkey, but there was an actual queen in Turkey, and it's also a plant. So that was my great grandmother. Romans 6:3 says this. In fact, if you brought your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to just spend a few minutes. We're going to be done early today. It's Resurrection Sunday, but it's not how long we're together, but how impactful we're together. I pray that today, as we look at the rest of this, that you're going to take this in and you're going to really question yourselves. Is what you carry attractive to others? You know, sometimes at first it's a negative attraction. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were not wrong in their teaching. They were teaching from the Old Testament. They were scribes. They were Pharisees. They were studied men. They knew the word, and they were teaching it. But you know, the Bible talks about the apostles in a different way. It says, here come those men that are turning our world upside down. So teaching is good. I believe we should teach. I believe there's learning that needs to happen. They call Jesus the good teacher. But can I tell you that the difference between teaching a teacher, a scribe, a Pharisee, and these men that are turning our world upside down, one taught the word, the others did the supernatural. They performed things that were impossible. And you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't know anything about it. Their world was being turned upside down. They could no longer control the people. God is looking for a people today who'd be willing to go out and turn your world upside down. Romans 6:3 says this, Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You're baptized. We love the water baptism, but you know the first part of that baptism is just as important. Baptized into his death. There has to be a brokenness. There has to be something that dies on the inside. The Bible says unless a seed goes in the ground and dies, it can't produce life. There has to be a place where we come to an end and where Jesus begins. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk. Come on, here's a step. There's a path. We should go in that path in newness of life. He's talking about steps. He's talking about paths here. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly. Come on, he's using a term here that is just foundational. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Come on, that's what your death does. It frees you from the sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Do you know you have that promise? If you died in Christ, then you die no more. In other words, if you're saved, when you breathe your last breath on this earth, you're already breathing your first breath in heaven. Clean, fresh, crystal, celestial air is filling you then. It's that instant. Now I forgot where I was. You got me excited here. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, say likewise. This is where you get included. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to read this to you. Just don't try and follow along because I'm going to read from the Message Bible and it'll confuse you. I'm just going to start in verse 6 here. Listen to what it says. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer it sins every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal, the end to the death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. Isn't that good? A dead language. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That's what the resurrection does. Now listen, it's the glory of God that rests on you. Your steps marked with his glory. Colossians 1:26 says, it's a mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now it's been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory. He's been wanting to release the riches of his glory. He wants you to know what they are. He made that known to the Gentiles, which is this. It's Christ in you. Come on. It's not Christ risen from the dead going through a tomb and coming out and going to heaven. It's Christ risen in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ inside you. It's an inside job. Let me read that from the Message as well. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. Isn't that good? That's what they just wanted everybody to know that. Why? Because they experienced it. I can't imagine not wanting others to know what I know about Christ. We should all be that way. So, you know, that's really what communion was all about. He was just trying to, one more way of saying Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. Come on. He's come again. He's risen in you, glorified in his saints. That you have, his life is in you. The Bible says that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. The Ron that was born in, I tell everybody I was born in L.A. It's Lower Akron. I was born in L.A. That guy is dead. You know, all the things that I did up until that time, that guy is dead. I don't live anymore. It's Christ that lives inside of me. I remember my dad's back here, 90, are you 92? Shortly, almost 92. And I remember one day he said, I don't know who you are. I don't know, where did you get all this stuff in you? How did you learn all this stuff? And it really is that striking. And so it's Christ in us that makes the difference. I want you to know today that today is your resurrection day. Today is your resurrection day. Dead to sin, it's a dead language. It means nothing to you because when Christ is risen in you, you don't even understand that language. God speaks your mother tongue. You hear him, you understand him, you follow him. Today is your resurrection day. And there's a song, I pray you just get happy over thinking about your resurrection. Because if Christ is risen, then we have the opportunity. It doesn't mean we automatically are. When we receive him, we're risen too. Today is your resurrection day. Today is the day where you can fully come alive in Christ. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to join me. Let's stand and let's sing this song because it carries so much resurrection power in it. I pray you'll rejoice with me.
Because you're risen, I can rise. Because you're living, I'm alive. Because your cross is powerful. Because you rose in I can get up off the floor.
This is your resurrection day. This is the day we celebrate everything changed. All of history changed when he was risen again. But the day you accept Jesus and the day you fully walk in him is your resurrection day. So I want to say welcome to your resurrection day. Come on, mark your thumb, mark your ear, mark your feet, mark yourself, mark your steps. Let every step be purposeful in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good. Praise God. Well, I just want to say that this is such an incredible day. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it everywhere you go. If you're going out to eat, let everybody know you're extra happy today because Jesus lives in you. The world is looking for the hope that you carry, folks. So go out and be hope to the world. Amen. Yeah. I love you, Hope. You have a great, blessed week. Tomorrow night is prayer at 6:30. Join us here. Have a great week.